Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Jeff.
And today, I am Jeff. I can't. Sorry. I didn't think this bit through.
No.
It's a big day for us, though, Kelly. We are literally fresh off the heels. This is, like, the most, like, timely reporting I think we've done, at least in a long time, right?
I guess, yeah.
I feel like, I guess there's been some, like, I think there was a PlayStation showcase once that we watched, because it was at 5, so we watched it together and then did our recording. So that was probably more timely. But this is still pretty darn timely. Like, literally, we are recording at 5 p.m. on August 20th, and at 2 p.m., from 2 to 4, Gamescom happened. So we are fresh off the heels, bringing you the biggest news from that Jeff hosted showcase. But that's not what we're starting with today. We should start with everything else. Does that make sense in my head? Does it make sense in your head?
Yes.
Today marked the release of Black Myth Wukong, which is that Chinese developed action game starring Monkey. There's a lot of strangeness around this game.
Do you know what the monkey's name is?
Do you?
It's Wukong.
Oh, is it Wukong?
Yes.
I didn't know. Well, Black Myth Wukong, which is apparently the myth of the monkey who is named Wukong, as I've just discovered, is a single-player action game that came out. It's a Chinese-developed game that we've known about for like 6 years, I want to say. We've known about it a long time, and it has looked kind of like not real, like too good to be true for so long. But it's out. It's out on PC and PlayStation 5 now. And personally, to my surprise, it is now the second highest played concurrent game on Steam ever. It passed Pow World, which was previously holding second place and is now behind only PUBG, which, I mean, it's PUBG has 3.2 million as its all-time peak, and Black Myth Wukong has 2.23 now. I knew this game was going to be kind of a big deal. I didn't realize it was going to be like this, though. This seems insane to me.
Yeah. I think the Chinese market is really, really big. And I think that is indicated by these numbers right now.
Yeah, clearly. And I think there was a lot of like fishiness around this launch, in my opinion, because the reviews came out last week. But to say the reviews came out is kind of a generous term, because only 8 people had the right to reveal the reviews on embargo day. And they were only on PC. So it came out the gate with like a 90 average. And I was like, that's really impressive. But then I looked how many people had reviewed it and the fact that it was only PC. And I was like, that's weird. That's really suspicious for a game this big to only have 8 reviews on embargo date. That number's now up to 41 and has dropped from a 90 to an 81 average. So it's definitely on the downward. I think maybe those first few just had like nothing but praise to say, so that maybe they had some permission to release their reviews earlier than everybody else. I'm not sure. But also the fact that nobody got a PS5 copy ahead of time made me really suspicious. I'm hearing now from the internet that the PS5 version is actually perfectly stable, which makes me more confused why they didn't let people have it. I think everything is about it is just fishy, because this is the first game in that genre. I guess it's not a genre, but there's a type of game produced in China that gets a bunch of trailers that look straight up fictional. Like, they don't look like they could possibly be a real game. And we've had tons of games like that, tons of trailers, but none of those games have come out. Like, if you remember the last PlayStation showcase, they had back to back, like, 2 games that looked fake. Like, they were like, this looks too good to be true. This game is like, this set the trend for those games, and it's the first one to actually come out. So it appears to be real and playable and work. I hope that means that all those other games will be real, but maybe they'll also have that same crazy development time. I just didn't expect it to have this reach. That's the second highest played game ever is substantial. Very substantial.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, because it's $70. That's a lot of money.
Yes. I feel like it's hard to like trust anything with this game. Because it's like the people who are playing it and talking about it, Some of them have a very specific rule set that they have to adhere to, which is interesting.
Press and like early reviewers and early streamers and stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, a little bit.
That's
sus.
Why I'm like considering getting it, but I think I'm gonna give it like a good few days because it came out. It was out on PC yesterday, so that's how it got up to this number that quickly. Because if it came out in the middle of the day today, obviously you couldn't do that quickly because work exists. It came out on PS5 today, so that gives it, I'll give it a few days probably at least before I consider buying it. And if it does turn out to be like super stable, I kind of want to just like know what's going on here. Like I want to have an understanding of what this game is and if it is halfway decent.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it will be replacing the other games that you're going to be playing?
I guess. Yeah, it would be replacing them. Yeah.
Well, it certainly won't be replacing Replaced because, unfortunately, Replaced has been pushed to 2025. This is the sort of like pixelated neo-noir thing that we saw at Summer Games Fest and a year or two ago at the Game Awards. There is a it seems to be that there's some sort of playable demo at Gamescom right now and a demo that might be coming out later this week. But yeah, I think this was probably, we didn't have a 2024 release date in the summertime, so it kind of stands to reason anyone could assume that it would be delayed or pushed back to 2025. So not altogether surprising, kind of a bummer for the team at Sad Cat Studios. Isn't that like a really cute studio name?
It's also apt right now.
Yeah, but hopefully this, you know, I guess it's better to have time to polish and make sure everything looks good before you actually release the game. So.
Yeah, a game like this, as much time in the oven as needed is good because I think this game looks incredible and I think last year you put it in like your top five most anticipated games of 2024, right?
Yes.
So, not anymore, I guess, but alas. You'll probably be playing it earlier than you would be playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas in VR. This is a game that was being developed by Meta, by Facebook, and we found out about it, let's see, was that last year or 2 years ago?
I don't remember.
That was 3 years ago. Oh my goodness. So we found out about this game 3 years ago. I knew we reported on the show, which is... That used to be like a good reference for how recently something happened. Like, oh, if we talked about it on the show, it was pretty recent. But we've been doing this for like too long now.
Yes.
I have no idea. Like October 2021. Yep, we were doing the show. I expected we were probably going to start seeing it soon, but it sounds like we might never see it ever because it has been delayed indefinitely, as said by Mark Zuckerberg. There's also something about hearing video game news directly from the mouth of Mark Zuckerberg that feels terrible. No matter what he's saying, it's gonna feel bad. That's not a guy I want to hear video game news from.
The Zuck?
The Zuck.
The Zuckmeister. I have a fun Mark Zuckerberg fact for you, but I will tell you off the air.
Why? Now I want to know.
Well, you'll just have to wait and be patient. What? Just like you'll have to be patient. What? For Until Dawn, the remake, the remaster, whatever you want to call it, which is coming out October 5th.
That's not that patient. That's like tomorrow. That'll be in no time flat.
I know. I wish October would actually come a lot faster for reasons that we'll get into later. But the Supermassive released a little trailer, just pretty much showing like what it used to look like versus what it looks like now or what it will look like, and basically just confirming that it will come out on the 5th. So,
the 4th.
Spooky. Fourth,
right?
The fourth?
You just said fifth.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Why did I keep saying the fifth?
I don't know.
Are you going to play the... Did you play the original?
Yeah.
Are you going to play this?
Probably not.
I played the heck out of this game. I got a ton of different endings. Like for the trophies, I got the ending where you can keep all the girls, where you only keep all the girls alive, minus two girls who you can't keep alive no matter what. And the trophy for keeping everyone alive and the trophy for getting the secret ending. And I think there's a trophy for keeping all the boys alive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played the heck out of this game. And I think I will revisit it just to see, you know, what it looks like now.
Will you get it on PC?
I don't know. I've been really into, like, I love my PC. I love playing games on it. But, like, lately I just feel like I just want to, like, play a game on my PlayStation. You know what I mean? I bought this big, expensive PlayStation, and I feel like don't use it enough. So, and I like to push it to its limit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think all of these trailers are captured on PS5, so we know how it'll look on there. I might visit. The only thing I think that would push me into visiting it for sure, or at least way more likely, would be if it had that same multiplayer mode that they had in The Quarry. But that wasn't a super, like, that wasn't PlayStation, so I don't know if they're, like, allowed or if they'd feel the need to copy that feature.
Yeah, it was like a couch co-op kind of thing where it'd be pass your controller.
You assigned, like, half the characters to each player. Or you could have up to 4 players. So you could assign the characters to each player.
You can do that.
I mean, you just do it manually.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can do that without...
But there's, like, the way it was designed in The Quarry made it feel designed for that.
Right.
I don't think that Until Dawn will have that same level. So, but that's probably the one thing that would keep me... That would get me interested, I think. But... We'll find out in October. They probably would have said by now, so I don't think that'll be in there. But in October, we'll see what your impressions are of it. It's a nice Halloween release date, though.
Yeah.
Game coming out a couple weeks before that. That surprised me a lot, because I thought this game was going to get delayed. But good news, it didn't. That's The Plucky Squire. This is that action-adventure game where you play as a little pink dude who can swap between a storybook and a... child's room. So it goes from like a side scroller when you're in the storybook to a third person, but like a 3D platformer of sorts. This game looks absolutely stunning. I think the art style and the gameplay looks incredible. Always has, but now it looks a lot more like an actual game. We knew it was supposed to come out this year, and they said multiple times, like, we promise it's coming out this year. And then to my great surprise, personally, it's coming out September 17th. So just a few weeks away. And if you are a subscriber to PlayStation Plus Extra or PlayStation Plus Premium, because those two tiers, doesn't matter. If you're a subscriber to one of those two things, you can play it day one on PlayStation Plus. Doesn't have the same ring as Game Pass, does it? You can play it day one on PlayStation Plus. I will most definitely be doing that. I'm very excited because I was going to get it anyway. It's just nice when you already have a service and a game you were going to buy comes to that service. But this trailer... Oh my God. I personally think this trailer looks top of the line.
It's giving me a warning for fantasy violence. I don't think I can watch it.
Whoa, be careful, Kelly. I don't know if you can handle that.
Yeah, this looks really good. I'm excited it's coming out so soon. That is great news.
September's really loading up.
Yes. The next couple months are going to be a little bit squeezy, if you know what I mean.
Squeezy.
Yes, we got a new trailer for Persona 3 Reload's expansion pass, the answer episode, I guess now it's called, which comes out September 10th. We also got some fun news at Gamescom today that one of the secret DLC boss fights is going to be none other than the Junker. Mr. Joker from Persona 5. We are milking that cow until the cow is dead. And then we are using necromancy to bring the cow back and milking it some more. I fear the Persona 5 title and accoutrement will never quite go away.
Yeah, I think it's like a little bit harmless packed in. Okay, here's the thing for me. This trailer for the expansion pass just dropped out of nowhere. They were like, oh, here's the release date. And that was 5 days ago now. And that made me excited because I'm, you know how it ends. So you're not really interested in that DLC, correct?
Correct.
Whereas I don't know anything about Episode Igus. So I am absolutely excited. Plus, it's included with my Game Pass subscription. So I'm really excited to play this. And September 10th is really soon. Like, that's a couple weeks. Oh, my goodness. And it looks like a pretty substantial gameplay overhaul, well, I shouldn't say overhaul. There's a lot changed for this DLC. I thought it was going to be basically the same exact thing, but it looks like there's a surprising amount of new mechanics and there's a new battle theme, like a lot of little things that'll make it feel more refreshing and not like you're just playing 30 more hours of the same game necessarily. I think it's weird that the Joker thing was the Gamescom reveal and not like this trailer. Because I'm like, the Joker thing should be the cute little side detail, but with Gamescom, it's like, that's the thing. And I'm like, it's one boss fight.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird, especially because like in pretty much all of like in Persona 5, you can fight the Persona 4 protagonist and the Persona 3 protagonist.
Well, if you pay for them.
Oh, I thought that just came in Royal.
In Royal, therefore, all of the Persona 5 DLC became free in Royal, and then they added new DLC that costed money for Royal. So if you played Royal, yeah, they were both included in there for free if you wanted them.
Yes. So it's not, like, surprising that this is a boss fight that you're going to be doing, like a surprise bonus boss, like fun boss. So I don't know why they were like, oh my god, you guys, that's Joker. It's like, yeah, okay. That's awesome. We totally get it.
Persona 3 was selling faster. It's like the fastest selling Atlas title at the time of release. So I don't think that they need to include Persona 5 stuff to like get people in. I think people were already in. But I guess maybe they really want people to come back for the second round for the DLC. Because probably a lot of people finished Persona 3 and they're like, I'm done. And they're not really thinking about playing this DLC. So maybe this is their way of like really getting people like, oh, remember, you can play this DLC.
Yeah.
But $35 is a lot of money to pay just because you want to fight Joker.
Yeah, I just don't feel like that's not enough to want me to come back. You know what I mean? Like they needed maybe something a little more shocking or surprising or exciting rather than just like, it's Joker. Remember him? And it's like, of course I remember him. He has not left me a day of peace since 2016. So,
yeah, which is, I think it's fine. I think it's harmless. I just think it was odd to put that on like the main stage at Gamescom. I'm like, that's the thing. That's what Atlas is going to be showing. And I guess it would be weird if they showed Metaphor since they just showed it at Summer Games Fest, but still. I'll be playing that in a couple weeks. Oh my goodness. Time's so speedy. Another September game that we got, Final Fantasy 16, not a new release, but it is leaving PlayStation 5 exclusivity and arriving on Steam September 17th. I think this is just good news. That's basically it. I just think it's good news. I was checking because it looked like it's coming with the DLC, but I don't think it includes the DLC.
Really?
No, it includes both DLCs. That's okay. So $50 is actually a really reasonable price then.
Yeah. Certainly. We can see Clive in all his glory. I'll play the first 8 hours and then get over it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, as somebody who really was kind of disappointed by the original release of 16, I played the whole thing, but it quite disappointed me. I still hope this game gets a second wind because the amount that they put in, the amount of effort they put in, it sounds like it didn't sell very well. So maybe Steam can kind of give it a second kick in the keister.
A kick in the keister. Mm-hmm. That's kind of spooky of you to say that. You know what else is spooky? Halloween.
It's the spookiest day.
But for me, it won't be spooky. Because a brand new video game is coming out on October 31st. A little ditty called Dragon Age: The Veilguard. We got a release date trailer last week with the official release date being October 31st, 2024. Very exciting. The trailer also showed us some cool stuff, some cool new stuff. A lot of lore tidbits for those of us who are really into the lore. And they also released a new roadmap of new stuff. So there's going to be a gameplay showcase / PC showcase sometime this week as we speak. And then next week, they'll be talking about the companions and then more to come in September with IGN. So that's kind of exciting. There was something else. Oh, yeah. There was some NVIDIA released a little trailer today talking about RTX. The new drivers, I guess, they're going to be using. And they showed some Veilguard footage to show off the ray tracing and stuff like that. and the ray tracing will be on consoles as well, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
Yes. So that's very exciting. I will say the one thing that really stood out to me with the little trailer that came out today was the music. The main theme of this game is really, really good. I feel like it's like, whoa, it's different for Dragon Age. It's very like thematic. I mean, the ones before obviously have been thematic, but this one feels a lot less cozy and a lot more like creepy, which I think is going to be a trend with this game just based on what we've seen in trailers and stuff like that. It's a little bit creepier than previous entries, maybe. So I'm very excited. That's why
it's coming out on Halloween.
Yes. And I, you know, you guys can get mad at me. You can yell at me. I did pre-order.
Why would I be mad at you?
Because everybody says that you shouldn't pre-order games, and you definitely shouldn't pre-order EA games. But I don't really care because I'm an adult and it's my money. I pre-ordered it for the PlayStation 5, and I bought the deluxe edition because I didn't see the regular edition.
That's what they do. The PlayStation store does that.
Well, my the man who lives in the house with me has EA Play for some reason for his sports video games, and I got a discount, so that was nice.
I like you referring to your husband as the man you live with.
He's the man. He lives in the house with me.
Yeah.
We live here simultaneously.
You're not even like roommates. He just happens to live there while you also happen to live there.
That's right. That's right.
Is that how you and Cookie, your cat, are?
No, Cookie's my roommate.
So Cookie's your roommate, and the man who you happen to marry also happens to just live there.
Yes.
Purely Andrew, financial. Yeah.
Are you going to play the new Dragon Age game?
I'm not going to make a single promise.
You've never played any of them, right? Not even Inquisition?
No. And if I play Veilguard, you will not be thrilled because I'm not going to play other ones before. Because October 31st is very soon, and I don't have time to play a long RPG before that.
I thought I lost you
for a second. I didn't realize you were considering my answer.
I was thinking. I don't think that Veilguard is going to be impossible to play on its own. I think the creators have been insistent that you don't have to play the other ones.
Yeah, I think they're fully aware. But
you know, I think you should anyway because they're good games. But
I mean, maybe I'll return to them if Veilguard really gets me. I think I'm gonna wait for the reception of Veilguard and see if that pushes me towards it. And also like. What else is coming out around then will kind of emphasize that. And because my backlog right now, I'm like, I'll talk about it more, but I'm like deliberately loading it up in like a way that's not maybe the most efficient thing in the world. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how it is received, but I won't promise you, Kelly, that I'm going to play it.
Right. Will you promise?
Do you want to tell the audience what you're doing?
Will you promise this little cactus I'm holding up?
No.
I have a variety of little trinkets upon my desk, and I'm Kelly's showing doing them.
The vlogger thing where she holds her hand behind a small object to adjust the focus as though her little webcam is going to figure out what that means.
Here's some focus for you.
You bumped the microphone while you did that?
I don't think I did. I think I bumped my table, and I think it makes the microphone pop. That's what I'm realizing. Okay, sorry. Dragon Age Veilguard's out October 31st. I'll see you guys then. Bye. Well,
are we? Oh, okay. So I guess it's going to be talking games with Andrew for a couple months.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Well, that's good because we have Gamescom to discuss. Gamescom is a big old event in Germany. And Jeff himself hosted Opening Night Live, which you might be like, guys, you said it was at 2 p.m. That's not nighttime. And I have something to tell you. It was nighttime in Germany. You idiots.
In Cologne.
In where?
Cologne.
But there were a bunch of games revealed. We're not going to talk about all of them because there were a lot. And it was also a very fluffy show. It was 2 hours, 2.5 if you watch the pre-show. It's too long. And there wasn't a lot of great stuff. There was some really good stuff, but it was absolutely packed with a lot of very commercially stuff and a lot of pretty unexciting updates and very niche things that not niche, just like live service-y stuff, which, as you know, Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew is not the most live service loving series. I guess we're a series. Neither of us play a lot of live service games. We didn't have anything to say about like the 7-minute Call of Duty trailer. We don't have anything to say about Marvel Rivals. Unless you do. Do you, Kelly?
I don't. People do say that it's going to be the Overwatch killer, but I don't believe that that's true.
No, I feel like nothing could kill Overwatch because Overwatch just is, you know?
Right.
If Overwatch survives the transition to Overwatch 2, Overwatch is not going to die.
I agree. I think if Overwatch survives so much, the transition to Overwatch 2, the controversy, the constantly complaining player base, and mind you, they complain for good reason many times. Yeah. If it survives all of that, I do believe it will withstand Marvel Rivals.
Marvel Rivals, yeah. Well, let's jump right in with the Directive 8020, which is a game taking place in the year 8020, I think. It's a space horror game. It appears it's like a doppelganger situation. So this main character is in space being attacked by a doppelganger of herself. And it is made by Supermassive. It is part of the Dark Pictures anthology, which is definitely a big departure from previous games in the Dark Pictures series, because that's kind of a modern day horror fantasy sort of story series. Is that an accurate way? Except they had the one about witches, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's modern day because there's also one that takes place in like World War II times.
Okay. So like,
but
not sci-fi.
Let's call it contemporary.
Yes. Very not sci-fi. So that is a kind of a surprise in my book, and that's coming out 2025. I haven't cared about the Dark Pictures in a long time. If this turns out good, though, this could be really interesting, I think. I think a sci-fi horror game of this genre is a really cool idea.
I know. It's hard with Dark Pictures because I feel like they're so hit or miss. The mm-hmm. first one that came out, Man of Medan, everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's like the people who made Until Dawn. It's going to be like Until Dawn. And it was not good. And then House of Ashes was also like kind of a flop. And then Little Hope was okay. So it was like, oh, cool. And now, you know, we're kind of in a weird... I feel like I'm forgetting one.
I'm not informed enough to know the names of all of them, so...
I also feel like it's confusing, too, with The Quarry. It's like, that is not Dark Pictures anthology, but it is a game of similar in that universe, of that vein. So it's like, I don't really...
It's kind of the same thing. It's just different publisher, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, aim at what's going on here. But yeah, I think sci-fi would be cool. I think from what it was a teaser, so we didn't really get to see that much. But it was pretty cool. I like the idea of like doppelgangers. That scares me. That's like one of the scariest things, I think.
Yeah.
So could be cool.
I think fleshing out 2025, the show especially, will kind of emphasize 2025 is looking chunky with games.
Right. Right, so. Including a teaser we got for a new game, never before seen, Borderlands 4.
Sure.
It was a teaser, no gameplay, just real quick, some planet stuff, and then the Borderlands mask that we all know very well. Out 2025, according to this teaser. So.
Well, they have to ride that extreme hype of the movie.
You know what's interesting about that movie is that I had heard whispers on Twitter that the original script was like really clever and unique.
Well, do you know who it was by?
No. And that's why Cate Blanchett was like, oh yeah, I'm down for this. And then it was just so radically eviscerated that it became a different movie entirely.
What? Yeah, so reportedly, and I cannot say 100%, obviously, but reportedly Craig Mazin, who made Chernobyl and The Last of Us series, made the script. And wow. Then when Eli Roth came in, it got shredded to pieces. And Craig Mazin was like, take my name off of that. I will not be associated with that. So.
Yep. That sounds
And Craig
about
Mazin
right.
is like, he knows how to make adaptations and he knows how to make good TV. And knows how to make good media, so I think it might have been a really good movie, but
yes,
we'll never know
thankfully. That's a different strain of universe That's a different, we cannot access that plane of universe.
And it's kind of one I don't care to access, if I'm being honest.
What if in that universe you got to, well, I was going to say, what if in that universe I got to play Dragon Age Veilguard right now?
That's, I guess.
I'm trying to get there.
Why does the Borderlands movie being good have to be attached to Dragon Age Veilguard?
You don't know how the butterfly effect works.
Also, Kelly, if we're sitting here having fun talking about like hypotheticals, why wouldn't we just say Dragon Age Veilguard came out like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago?
Because then I wouldn't be able to play it for the first time. It will have been old to me.
See, there's part of me that thinks that the last like month before a game that you really care about is like an exciting period that I wish I could recapture.
I think it is an exciting period, but we still have like really 2 months. Yeah, all of September and pretty much in all of October. So
yes. I don't know. I just, it's been a long time because like the two games that get me like that or got me like that in my adulthood, three games that got me like that in my adulthood, they were all coming back to me very quickly. I was thinking Kingdom Hearts 3 was the biggest one. That's the game that I was like the most excited for, the lead up. And I really, in retrospect, cherished the year leading up. And I know that sounds silly, but like the year leading up was so exciting. I had so many conversations. Every trailer was like an event. It was super exciting. I felt the same way for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Thankfully, they like kind of were able to keep that train rolling for a couple years afterwards because the DLC was kind of the same hype. And then Bayonetta 3 because of the incredibly painful and wonderful lead up. I feel like Bayonetta 3 was my Dragon Age because it was like announced and then there was just silence for 6 years. Not 6 years, it was like 5 years. So I feel like I had that feeling that you had for that. What year did Dragon Age Inquisition come out?
2014.
Oh, so the same year as Bayonetta 2. So the turnaround wasn't that different then. What year is it? I guess it was kind of different actually because that's October of 22 and yours is October of 24. So you had to wait 2 more years than I did.
But yes.
I don't know why I'm talking about this. I have no idea where that came from. It's because I'm so excited for Borderlands 4.
That's right. You've been waiting so long for Borderlands 4.
Yeah, I truly don't care. I truly do not. And it was funny because Jeff introduced it as like, this is a big one, and it didn't leak. And it started, and it said 2K Games. And I'm like, Jeff, Borderlands leaked like 4 months ago. I'm like, we've known about this game for months. Because like it leaked before Summer Games Fest. So we're like, oh, it'll be at Summer Game Fest. But then it wasn't because Civ 7 was. But it was just here. It's like it still happened. It just happened 2 months later than we all thought. Oh, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff.
And then we got a trailer for a new-ish game, and I think the game is unexciting, but the trailer is something I very highly recommend going to watch because it is genuinely funny. It is a strange inspector-looking character walking through a prison, and he has two like PlayStation 1-era guards following him, even though he's super photorealistic, and he's passing a bunch of cells, and in each of these prison cells is like a joke making fun of really like bad video game what would you say, like flubs, big glitches. Like there's an Assassin's Creed one where like it's clearly Assassin's Creed Unity. That's the one that was super broken, right?
I don't know, I'm not sure.
And then like the Skyrim wagon rolls by like three separate times, it keeps getting like stuck. It's a very funny trailer, and this trailer is for Goat Simulator Remastered. Obviously, I am maybe not the most excited in the world for Goat Simulator Remastered, but this trailer is exceptional. It is genuinely hilarious. It makes fun of a lot of great stuff. It proves that it knows how to make a remaster where other developers don't, you know? Obviously, that's what it means. So, yeah, I'm excited to play that later this year. I know Kelly's a big Goat Simulator fan, so.
I personally feel like a little goat, but in my heart I'm not a goat, so the only way I can fulfill this desire is to play Goat Simulator, and Remastered. It brings me great joy to know that I will be able to be a goat again in a remastered fashion. Mm-hmm. But you know what I won't be able to be again because of the way time works is a teenage girl, much like the teenage girls that are going to be in the new Don't Nod game, Lost Records. These This is the sort of Life is Strange-esque game. Got a little gameplay reveal trailer at Gamescom. And like Life is Strange, it will be coming out episodically in two parts, with the first part out February 18th, 2025, and the second part out March 18th, 2025. The trailer was very much giving like, oh, we're teen girls, we're having fun. And then it was like, oh, something spooky is happening. But yeah, I think I will definitely be playing this. I really enjoyed Life is Strange when I played it. I don't even, like 10 years ago, 8 years ago. I think I played it in 2016. So I'm looking forward to this game because it looks, obviously, it looks more modern. But also it seems that music is very important to the game. And I think that's cool. It's got, I think, kind of like a 90s thing going on. And it's a choice game. We all know I love the choice games. And it seems to have a sort of like Yellow Jackets-esque, like something bad happened when we were teenagers. Let's think about it. Let's reminisce about it. So I'm looking forward to that aspect as well. I love a little spookiness. You know what I mean? I love a cozy spookiness.
That's a good way to put it. Cozy spooky.
Yeah. I feel like this is sort of a new genre of like things. Like I'm thinking about in the indie showcase. Oh, I think it was at Summer Games Fest. Maybe where they were going over, it was the Blumhouse games, and one of them was like a farming simulator. Blumhouse. Yeah. Did I say Blumhouse?
Probably, because that's probably how I pronounce it. Also, this game's called Bloom and Rage, so you probably just saw Bloom and got excited.
Yes, but there was like there's like a farming simulator game where it's also like, oh, by the way, there was a murder in the town, like a ritualistic murder, and you have to solve it. But you're also a farmer. It's like the cozy spookiness. That's what I'm like really starting to enjoy as a genre that's emerging. So I think this kind of captures that. But I guess we'll see when it comes out in February.
Yeah, I think the facial animations look like crap. I really am genuinely excited about this game still. And I think that everything else looks really good. Like the art style and the environment design looks really nice. There's like a scene where they're walking across this log. And I think it looks really stunning and it's a really nice shot. But like when the characters are talking, there's just like, they look very stilted to me. And I hope that before that February release, they can kind of just give a little more emotion behind those eyes.
I don't think it looks that bad. Like, are you talking about when they're teenagers or the scene where they're like talking in the diner?
I think at all times when they're talking in the diner, I think it looks pretty good. When it's like the first person shot, when they're teenagers, I feel like the body animations are good, but the faces all look really like under animated. And maybe they are just like under animated because they're not finished. Maybe that's the last thing they're finishing, you know? This game still does have 6 months in the oven. So well, I guess 4 months. What month is it? Eight. It has 6 months in the oven, yeah. So maybe that'll look a little better on release.
Mm.
I think it only clashes because the rest of the game looks so sharp. And I do think it looks really, really nice everywhere else. So I think that's kind of why I felt taken aback personally. Mm-hmm. And I'm still excited. I'm a little confused by the release decision. Like the episodic thing is kind of like a dead way to do games, and doing it as two parts that are so close to each other, I wonder if it's more of an artistic choice.
Yeah, maybe like, there's something significant in the story that's like
they want people to sit on for a while.
Yeah, I don't know.
I also don't know how that means, like, how buying works. Is it just, like, you buy the game and then they're going to patch in the second part on March 18th?
Yeah, that's what it was with Life is Strange. You could buy, like, the whole collection and get all four episodes, or you can buy them, like, as they came out.
Right. I imagine they probably will just release it as one game here because they don't want people to leave after one episode.
Yeah.
Since it's only two parts.
I'm thinking that it'll be, like, two episodes and then, like, a DLC episode later down the line.
I mean, I think we'll find out in a couple months, but it's just strange to see a game released this way because it hasn't happened in so long. The Steam page doesn't have anything listed about like separate listings. It's just like a single wish list thing. So I have a feeling you'll probably just buy it and then they'll patch in later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you want another game to look forward to, not quite next year, but we don't, well, it might be next year, but we don't have a release date. That is the new game from Tarsier, who, if you think that name sounds familiar, it's because they made Little Nightmares 1 and Little Nightmares 2. they announced their new game, which got teased a little while ago, and that is Reanimal. I very highly recommend just going to watch this trailer. If you have any experience with Little Nightmares, this will be very familiar. It is clearly the same team making that. And it's funny because later in the show, they had a Little Nightmares 3 trailer, which it was just the trailer. There was no announcement of release date or anything, so nothing to talk about. But seeing those games back to back is kind of funny. I think this looks like a really fun, I shouldn't say fun, a really interesting game, and I'm excited to play it genuinely. And I think it looks a little more interesting than Little Nightmares 3 even does. So I look forward to seeing how this game turns out, hopefully next year. But, you know, like I said, there's no confirmation. So, and that's from THQ Nordic. They'll be publishing it.
Yes, I was also excited when I saw this. I think it looks really good. Looks very creepy. I would agree that it looks better than Little Nightmares 3. So, mm-hmm.
I think Little Nightmares 3 looks good. I just think this game looks more compelling. Like, technically, they probably look pretty similar in quality, but I feel like there's a lot of very compelling imagery, and this one clearly leans into animal horror, which I consider really unpleasant. Like, stuff to do with animals and, like, mistreatment of animals and stuff is really upsetting to me, I think, to most people. So they're clearly leaning in on that, and they have a weird sheep with a long neck.
He does have a long neck.
Yeah, he does.
I know the part at the beginning of the trailer where the sheep, like, unbreaks its neck was like, ah!
Yeah.
Ah! I screeched. I squealed. I was spooked.
I'm all in, though.
Yeah, it looks scarier than Little Nightmares to me.
I guess Little Nightmares didn't frighten me. It was just like, the only part that frightened me is that it reminded me of, like, gross puppetry, which is the one thing that scared me like a ton as a kid. Like, do you remember that Mr. Meaty show on Nickelodeon?
That show was repulsive on all levels.
That show didn't just gross me out. That show scared me so bad.
I mean, it was repulsive, like unpleasant gross. To watch.
Well, Little Nightmares kind of reminds me of that show. And I feel like this does not, but it is maybe a little more interesting to me.
Yes. Are you interested in Monument Valley 3?
Yes.
Well, I have great news for you because it's coming out. Thanks to Netflix Games.
Better get this party started.
It's coming out December 10th, 2024. Yippee!
Yahoo! I was not expecting this.
Yes.
I forgot about this series. I mean, calling it a series feels generous. It just didn't. Two and done. But, like, there was no news from the series.
Yes.
So.
And the other two are also coming to Netflix Games, with the first coming on September 19th and the second coming October 29th. So you can play them all on Netflix Games.
Can I share something embarrassing about the series?
Sure, yeah.
So I played these games. And do you want to know how I found out about these games?
Yes.
Kevin Spacey.
Oh.
There's a scene in House of Cards right before this game, or when this game came out, the original, of Kevin Spacey playing Monument Valley on an iPad. And I was like, that looks awesome. So I bought it and I played it. And now in retrospect, I'm like, I'm very disappointed that the reason I like this series is because of House of Cards.
It's not really Kevin Spacey. There were a ton of other people who made that show.
Right. But it was Kevin Spacey holding the iPad.
Yeah, but he wasn't the one who said, I want to play Monument Valley on this show. It was probably some Netflix executive.
We're gonna a neckbeard executive?
No, I think I was combining the words Netflix and executive.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's a lot of product placement in that show. There was a lot. I don't know if you did you watch it at the time?
I watched the first season. It's very I don't know. I like David Fincher, but
Fincher make House of Cards?
Yeah, the first season he directed it.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He had to stop, though, after the first season because he got busy, which is funny because he did the exact same thing with a different Netflix show, but we don't have to talk about it.
Wait, did he not direct season of 2 of Mindhunter?
No, he did season 2.
What show are you talking about, then?
Mindhunter. That's why they're not doing a season 3.
I thought you said that he did. Oh, well, he said now that it's for budget reasons. He said like last year that they weren't willing to fund it, but who knows?
Right. But the real truth is he just like was too busy. Budget reasons being that he wanted more money and Netflix didn't want to give him money. And he had other projects that would give him more money. So.
Well, you know who's going to give us the most money is Monument Valley 3, because if you play the game, you get money.
That's
I shouldn't say true. That. No, but I'm excited. I'll probably revisit 1 and 2 leading up. And, you know, having this game included on Netflix is kind of cool. Playing it on phone is, like, the way to play it.
Playing it on phone.
Okay. Well, it's like how you say, like, oh, I'm playing this game on PS5. So my brain did, like, the same thing of, like, calling phone the platform instead of my phone.
Luckily I have phone. Luckily I have purse.
I'm moving on.
Okay,
let's stop talking about Netflix and let's instead talk about Amazon Prime Video. They're releasing a new TV series called Secret Level. This is an anthology series like Love, Death and Robots, because it's from the same creator. And it's going to be based on video games. Not just video games as a concept, but specific video games. So there's going to be 15 episodes in this first season. And the games that these episodes will be based on are as follows. Armored Core. Cool. Concord. But weird. Dumb. Bad. Crossfire. Not familiar. Dungeons and Dragons. Exodus. Honor of Kings. Mega Man. I say it like that because I'm excited about that one. New World. Aeternum. Is that how I say it? Is that how I say it?
I think it's just Aeternum.
Aeternum. Pac-Man. Waka Waka. Sifu. Spelunky. The Outer Worlds. Unreal Tournament. Warhammer. And several PlayStation Studios games. And for clarity, that is one episode based on several PlayStation Studios games. Not a lot of episodes. The trailer for the show was kind of a lot. It flashes through a ton of things, so you can't really tell what you're looking at. 15 episodes is a ton. I'm most excited for Armored Core, Mega Man, Pac-Man, and Sifu, probably. But I'm also curious what the PlayStation one's going to be, because we saw a flash of Kratos, like, in a city. And that's not where he goes. He don't go in cities.
I'm
hoping that that episode's based. Do you remember those old PlayStation commercials, like the PlayStation 3 era, where it's like all of the characters in like a bar?
Yes.
I kind of hope it's something like that, because we also saw a flash of Jin from Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, so. It would be like Jin and Kratos and Ellie, and I don't know.
I'm very excited. And Norman Reedus, yeah. It's out December 10th. Sorry. It's out quite soon. Yeah. That was what surprised me the most.
I'm curious about The Outer Worlds.
I mean,
because I feel like that was a property that, like, kind of is. It was really hyped up because it was like, oh my gosh, it's the Fallout New Vegas people. And then people played it and they were like, not as good. But I'm curious, because I played it. I didn't think it was bad. I'm curious to see what that's going to be. Same with, Armored Core. That is interesting to me.
The one shot from the Armored Core one was, what's the painting with the fingers?
Oh, like the yeah.
God
the creation. Yeah.
Creation, yeah. That there was, a shot that was reminiscent of that, but with a mech. And I'm like, that looks sick. So I'm really excited. And this was what's his name? What's that guy's name? The guy who made Deadpool 1.
Oh, I don't remember.
I can find out in 2 seconds. It's made by Tim Miller.
Tim Miller.
Who, if you watch Gamescom, which I don't recommend, I recommend that you use us as your source of information and don't go watch it because it was 2.5 hours and that's long. But Tim Miller came out on stage to present this and he got choked up and had to stop because he's so excited about this thing that he's been working on for years. And it was, did you watch that part, Kelly?
Yes, I did.
It was really sweet. It was very cute. I didn't expect somebody to cry on stage about Spelunky.
Well,
I mean,
I would cry on stage about Spelunky, but that's just because I think Spelunky's cute.
Yes. I'm really, really excited for the series. I'm deeply curious what it's going to be like. It could be kind of a little bit iffy, but you know, I think Love, Death, and Robots is a really good series, so I think that this could be really, really special, and it could also lead to a lot of really cool stuff in the future, because this is a cool way to, because like, not every video game needs a movie. Not every video game needs a TV series. I think some games just give them like a flash in the pan, like Armored Core or like Spelunky. Spelunky doesn't need a movie. That'd be ridiculous. But giving it like a 15 or 30 minute animated movie would be sick, you know? And this is a great way to do it, I think.
Yes. Yes. Upon the backs of Spelunky, we will build our civilizations.
Sure, we will.
Because guess what's coming out February 11th? 2025, Civ 7, by Mr. Sid Meier himself. That's right. Rest in peace. Is he dead?
I don't know. I thought he was alive.
Civ 7. We got a gameplay trailer and a
he's perfectly release date. Fine.
Oh.
He's 70.
Oh. I sure hope nothing happens to him between this recording and this episode coming
out. Oh no.
So it comes out February 11th, 2025. Pretty exciting. Looks pretty standard Civ fare, you know. You build a civilization and then you build another one. There's a little pre-order bonus, some early access if you get the fancy editions. Yippee.
I don't care, or is this interested in?
I'm not really a Civ gamer. I prefer historical games where I can like control my vassals a la Crusader Kings.
Yeah.
But there, the man who lives in this house really enjoys Civ games, so he
sounds
might
like February
enjoy
11th will probably be a big day for him then.
Yes, that's true.
Well, if you're not interested in Civ 7, maybe you'll be interested in Rev 8. Did you like that one?
Rev 8?
Rev 8 is the name of the vehicle that they are adding to Starfield.
I see.
Available now. This will totally fix any problems people have with Starfield.
Hey, it's free, man.
It is free and it's available today. I can't imagine this is going to bring many people back. The thing for me is it's Bethesda. I don't trust them to make a vehicle that has satisfying controls.
What about the horses in Skyrim?
Yeah, they're not a vehicle that goes at 100 miles
they
per hour
are
and
technically
fly.
A vehicle in the sense of that game.
Can they go 100 miles per hour and fly?
No.
Well, I guess hover would be a more apt word than fly, but
I wish Starfield was just, I feel like I get sad about Starfield because I know that like it could have been something that I enjoyed, but I could not for the life of me bring myself to care about anything that was happening.
They flubbed it. Pack it up, go home. It's too late, guys.
Which is just so sad because it's like you can tell there was a lot of passion behind the game, like the way they spoke about it. But it just did not translate to something that was, you know, it did not translate to something that was like, felt good to play, you know?
No.
Anyway.
No, it was, I don't think that this is going to do much for that series. Maybe the DLC that comes out next month will do something, but even that, I'm like, is that really gonna
if the DLC
kick people
is,
into gear?
Yeah, if the DLC is scary, I will go on the record and I will say it now. That I will go back into Starfield and play it.
Really?
Yes. But if it's not really scary, then I don't really care.
I don't think it will be, but I will. I look forward to hearing you think about playing it and not playing it.
I guess my thoughts is I really have to get anything out of the way in the next like month or two because I'm going to be quite busy with a different game come the end of October. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to find time for a game like Starfield that you don't particularly care about.
But maybe I could. I've cared about worse games before. It's not like even what? That it's bad. It's just so like, ugh. Like, I'm over it. What I'm not over is simulating life adventures. Like the one Flotopia, which is a game. I can't watch the trailer. It's not on their YouTube.
I fixed it.
Okay.
Well, if you re-click the link that I put on the sheet, it'll take you to the correct place.
Okay.
I instead of putting a link to the trailer, I accidentally just put a link to their YouTube page, and their YouTube page had no trailer on it. So sorry. I apologize to Kelly, and I apologize to the audience for this horrible flub.
I am
basically the Starfield launch.
Just don't do it again. It's a farming sim, and it's also a little critter sim, and you build stuff, and it's a little bit like Animal Crossing, but it's a lot more going on in this trailer particularly. It looks pretty cute, but I think there is a fine line between cute and like slop, like rainbow slop. So I'm kind of like, where are we here with Flowtopia? Anyway, this is coming out in 2025 for PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, and PC. So I guess I could have said all platforms.
Nothing but you. When I was watching this, I was like, this looks like it will either be, if it's bad, it's bad. But if it's good, I feel like this could be like a huge game for you.
I will say it does look really cute. But I'm wary of games that look cute because I feel like they so often can just be like, why don't you spend some money on this stuff? You know?
And yes.
It's like,
I went upstairs because I had to switch my laundry, and that's when this trailer started. When I came back downstairs, I caught a glance of this, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Animal Crossing. Because the thing is, this is not like a direct Animal Crossing ripoff, but the character proportions are literally like lift from Animal Crossing. And I thought it was very fun to see that. But it doesn't look bad, doesn't look crazy good, but it might turn out to be something really special. I think the train agrees with me. We also got a new... is trailer the right word for what this is?
I don't want to speak because the train is still honking.
That's fine. It's part of the joy.
Yeah, I guess you could call it like a behind the scenes thing. I don't know.
It was a trailer to discuss Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, and it's mostly just Troy Baker talking about voicing Indiana Jones over some footage of the game. I guess it is like probably the best representation of just gameplay that we've seen so far. It is coming out December 9th. We finally heard. And then they ended with a little surprise. And that is that this game is not just going to be on Xbox. In spring of 2025, it's going to launch on PS5. That seems like not the biggest vote of confidence to me. Especially after a few months ago, Phil Spencer was like, yeah, we're going to start putting games on PlayStation, but never less than a year after release. He said that.
Yeah, why did he say that?
I don't know if folks know this, but December to spring is less than 12 months.
Why did Phil Spencer say that?
He might be a liar.
What?
Phil?
What?
Never.
Are you saying to me?
Phil
what?
Would never lie.
You know who would never lie? Indy. Except for all the times he lies.
I was going to say, he might lie. But the trailer looked fine. I'll play it probably because it's on Game Pass. If it's terrible, I won't. But if it's good, I'll probably give it a shot. I'm forever disappointed it's first person, but I feel like it's probably redundant for me to say that now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with your conclusion. I agree. I don't even really know how to transition. So we kind of closed out the show with a big, fun, exciting teaser for a new Mafia game called Mafia: The Old Country. Not a whole lot of info. The teaser's only like a minute. But yeah, it takes place in Sicily in the 1900s. Like early 1900s.
Yeah, like the formation of organized crime.
Right. Like before the Titanic.
Right. I guess 1900s could mean 1999, technically.
I know. But... After I said that, I was like, well, the audience knows that. I'm like, but do they?
Our audience is notoriously they don't understand numbers. It's pretty well known.
So this will be out on all platforms as far as we know. They were all popped up at the end. And we are supposed to learn more in December. So...
I assume at the Game Awards.
Oh, yeah.
What? Where else would it be?
Ugh, I just don't want to think about the Game Awards.
Why? Because you just finished a really elongated Jeff show?
Yes, and also, like, I just... Game Awards, like, last year were kind of bad, so I'm just like, ooh.
We don't need to talk about that, though.
And I feel like maybe this year they'll be bad, too, but I'm just being pessimistic, I guess.
This year could be really good. I say only because 2025 is looking stacked.
I guess, but I feel like what we know of 2025, we've already seen a lot of it. The only thing right. that Game Awards...
But a lot of it would be fun to see updates for.
Yes. And like maybe what Nintendo's got going on, though they don't really do anything at the Game Awards. But
yeah, I don't think they like Jeff much.
Oh.
I don't think they dislike Jeff, but like they're like, why would we go to Jeff when we can have our own platform?
That's right. So that was GamesCon 2020.
Oh, I didn't even. I think Mafia Old Country sounds like a good idea.
Four.
But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just realized you were talking about Mafia and then we just moved on.
That's
sorry.
Okay. I've never played any of the Mafia games, so I don't have a ton to say about it.
I played 2 when it was on like PlayStation Plus or something many years ago, the original release, and was fine with it. I think the idea of this game of being set in like early 1900s and being about the origins of organized crime is a really cool idea. So it could be sick, I think. We'll find out. Not soon. There's not even a release window on this thing.
Just 2025.
I didn't realize the series was big enough to get a reveal like this, though.
Yeah, people like their Mafia games, I guess.
To each their own, Kelly.
To each their own, yes.
Did you play anything this week?
I played the same stuff that I played last week. I played more Fields of Mystria, which is super fun. There's so much going on for early access. It's pretty wild. I feel like, I think maybe I said this last week, but I'm really enjoying it. I think that it has a lot of great features, and I'm excited to see them sort of expanded on in as the game updates more and more. And I just love the character design. It's so good. It's so good.
I mean, it's a really stunning game from what I saw. I really like the art style.
Yes, and I feel like what I really appreciate about it, and I don't say this as a dig to any other farming sim because I love them all, and I also, I really admire Concerned Ape. Like, I think that he's not only a great game creator, but I think he's also a nice person, just the way he communicates with the people that play his games and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. I really admire him, but I feel like, you know, his cast in Stardew Valley, the characters, it's not super diverse. And I think what I really enjoy about Fields of Mystria is that it's diverse in many different ways, like race and gender and age. I feel like there's a nice representation of lots of different kinds of people. And I really enjoy that. Yeah. So, and I didn't mention that last week, and I wanted to mention it this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hear more as you play more.
Yippee!
Woo! I fulfilled a promise. I'm liking our new format only because it allows me to make promises on video games and then follow through. Granted, we recorded 1 week ago, but this game that I'm going to talk about in a second is short. As I said last week, I played Thank Goodness You're Here. This is an animated adventure game, so it looks like a good old-fashioned cartoon, super animated. If you watch gameplay, it's kind of impressive because sometimes you're like, I don't know if this is gameplay or a cartoon, because there is quite a bit of animation that's just pure animation, but there's also parts where you're playing, and it blends perfectly between the two. You play as this tiny little yellow guy. He's smaller than everybody else, and you'll walk in and somebody, and like I kind of described last week, you'll walk in, they'll be like, oh, thank goodness you're here. Oh, it's very British. And they'll ask you to do some little task, and then that leads you to another task, which leads you to another task, and then eventually you swirl all the way back around to the original task. Oh, you unlocked a new area. So it's this really satisfying loop. It took me a little over 2 hours to finish. I think that it's not really a story so much as just like a connection of random events happening around you, but they're all super cute. The gameplay's not like incredible, but the thing I want to give it the biggest credit for is like the way that animation is just so pure, like the way things blend. and like the world is like so organically changing. And obviously that's not that crazy hard to animate, but to make it so that you can like still be interacting with the world while it's happening. Like the thing that got me is like at one point there's this guy and he's under like he has his head stuck in a fryer and he's fixing it with his tools. And when you walk in, you walk in because you're a little guy, you're like the size of the opening of the fryer. But then once you're inside, it cuts to the next, you know, shot and you're tiny. You're like a tiny little man walking across the man's chest. So you'd be like an inch tall. And it's just this really cute thing. And you go over and he has this giant head and he's telling you what he needs. And at one point, the like latch opens and the gate falls on his face. And then you're able to walk inside. And it sounds simple, but just the way that this really fluid animation happens and that a gate opens and it looks perfect, but it has also opened up this new gameplay option. It really impressed me. There's just a lot of fluidity and the way that the game kind of constantly changes where like sometimes you're the tiniest little guy you've ever done seen and sometimes you're like a normalish size. It's just absolutely adorable. And there's like a lot of variety in the things you do. It is definitely M-rated, which surprised me. There's like a weird like meat nightmare that's really gory and gross. And I was like, I thought this game was like rated T, but it's very much not. There's like sex and violence and weird stuff happening in this game constantly. But it was kind of just like this weird sensory overload, good time for a couple hours. And I do recommend it. If you have any interest in this kind of like, I would call it an adventure game. It's like a series of not so much, it's like environmental puzzles. Like they tell you they need something, you kind of got to go figure out where you need to get it. So it's not like the doing the action is actually a challenge. It doesn't take a lot of thinking, but getting there and figuring out how to connect all of those dots is sort of a puzzle and it's on its own. And there's a lot of other small things that you can find along the way that are not required. I didn't get everything because I didn't get the platinum trophy, but there's a lot of different things you can try out. So there's a lot to see. It's definitely a kind of game that if you love it, you're going to want to play it more than once. And I think it is pretty funny. This kind of British humor doesn't click with me 100%, I'm sorry to say. So there were certain jokes that kind of just flew over my head or I just didn't appreciate them fully. But if you like British comedy and you like fun, cute adventure games with beautiful art styles, I very highly recommend looking into this one. It's super short, well worth your time. I think these days if a game is short and sweet, that's kind of a good thing. Length is not important to me as long as it's like feels correct. So I followed through. I promised I was going to play it. I did. Wow. I know I don't have a ton to say about it, but it's kind of a simple game. You know, there's not a ton going on. It's just really sharp, really well made. And I look forward to what this developer makes next. That's for sure.
And you're a little guy.
And oh my God, you're just a little guy. That's the thing. If you're interested in this game and you're interested in being a little guy, you're just so cute. You're a little yellow guy. Kelly, have you seen a little guy that you play as?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's just a little guy.
He's just a little guy.
But I guess I'll promise the game that I'm going to play next week where you play as also a little guy, but he's kind of a big guy. He's just a little guy because the platform I'm playing on. Metal Gear Solid, and that is the 1998 PlayStation 1 release. I decided I need to start. I made a list on my phone, and I called it History Class, and it is a bunch of classic games that I haven't experienced that I'm like, I feel like I owe it to video games to have experienced these games. Do you want to hear my list so far?
Yes.
Okay, let me pull it up. Metal Gear Solid, and I'll probably go to 2 and 3 afterwards, but we'll focus on just that. Final Fantasy VI, Resident Evil 1, Wind Waker, Earthbound, Braid, System Shock, and Dark Souls. So that's my opening list. That's what I'm starting on. I don't know what order I'll play it in. I don't know. I won't just be playing those back to back. I'll be playing other new releases and stuff as well. But those are games I want to get to. But I started this game just a little bit. I'm not going to get too far. But I picked up the Legacy Collection on PS5 on clearance the other day because I was like, well, can't pack up that deal. Pass up that deal. And I look forward to talking about it more. I'm impressed at the very beginning, but, you know, I don't have very full impressions because I just kind of started it. But I promise I'll play more. And wow. I'm not going to promise this because I don't know what I want to do here, but I might pick up Black Myth Wukong.
You heard it here first, folks.
Don't get them all excited.
You heard it here.
I might, okay?
I heard somebody say they promised that they're going to play Black Myth Wukong.
Okay, that's $70 I'm not quite willing to promise right now.
What if it was something you were willing to promise right now?
It's not.
What if we go to that other universe where you're already playing it right now as we speak?
Okay, just give me a sec. I'm going to look at it.
Okay, he's astrally projecting. Okay.
So I don't think you want us to go to that universe, because in that universe, Dragon Age, the Veil Guard actually is delayed to March 12th.
Oh my God. Yeah, we won't be doing that. We won't be doing that.
We're going to stay on our plane of existence.
We absolutely are. Thanks so much for, you know, trying, though. I appreciate that.
But I promise I'll play Metal Gear Solid, because we have that 2 weeks. So when we come back, I'll have had time to play through that. I promise. I'm shaking your hand right now.
Shake, 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 shake. I'm shaking the audience's hand because I so appreciate them listening to us this week for this fun little episode we did. Even though we said we were going to do every other week, we said, you know what? Gamescom is more important. It's topical. It's real. These are the stories.
You're making it sound like we're doing really deeply important journalism and not just reacting.
Like, I was about to do like the SBU, like, these are their stories. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun. Boom, boom, that should be our... Boom, boom. I mean, we literally have a theme song that is original to us, but I think we should just start stealing that one.
Okay. I like that.
A good copyright decision.
You know what? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I hope you have a really awesome day. And not only a day, but also a week. And not only a week, but also a month. And not only a month, but also a year. And we will see you soon, where we will talk about how Andrew's having so much fun playing Black Myth Wukong.
Stop.
Thanks. Bye.